Welcome to Downrange Radio and our continuing coverage of the D.C. v. Heller oral arguments held this morning before the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. I am your host, Michael Bain, and I just finished an interview with John Lott. I think most of you are very much familiar with the works of John Lott, More Guns, Less Crime, and a lot of statistical analysis of understanding the effects of gun laws in the United States, the effect of concealed carry laws in the United States, and a lot of research on the effects of trigger lock laws, safe storage laws. Now, basically, Lott's research has shown that safe storage laws, rather than saving lives, actually cost lives. So the issue of trigger locks, of course, played a very large part, a larger part than I anticipated, in today's oral arguments. So without any further ado, let's go to John Lott discussing a little bit about what he saw in Alan Gura's argument there on trigger locks, again, before the Supreme Court.
The one thing I was just the most disappointed with regard to Alan was he just didn't seem to want to bring up any numbers. It seemed like there were a number of lines of questioning that I thought that he could have either kind of cut short, you know, when the discussion about accidental deaths involving kids was involved. Why not mention how few kids there are? You know, it seemed like a question, a point crying out. You know, if Breyer is raising this about accidental gun deaths involving kids, why not say in 2003 there were 20 kids under age 10 who died from accidental gunshots, and most of those were killed by adult males with criminal records? You know, I think it would have put some perspective on it. And I would have liked at least, you know, I guess he did kind of at the end get into one thing about the crime, alluding to that there were studies that disagreed with Breyer's prescription. But the other thing that I wish had been done was it seemed like a conscious effort in the briefs not to go through the empirical work on gun locks, to exclude it completely from the discussion. And I think that was a mistake. I mean, I felt that when I saw the briefs written up, and I feel it even more strongly now, because, and Gura, I wish, had at least anticipated that those types of things would be gone into more after he had sat down, and at least try to raise some of the empirical literature there, because Roberts and Scalia surely were helping in terms of talking about how difficult it might be to go and use gun lock. And they were obviously calling out for some piece of evidence, something. And guy for who's arguing for D.C., making his claims about how trivial the cost was for using gun locks, would have seen some mention that the gun locks actually result in more deaths because they make it more difficult for people to use guns defensively. I knew that was going to come up, and I was very disappointed, given that we have such easy arguments to deal with it, that nothing was brought up in our briefs and nothing was brought up in the court.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much. I know he's got a ton of other interviews he'll be doing today and talking about the oral arguments. You know, one thing that struck me very strongly here is I'm not an attorney. I don't play one on television. But how hard it must be to stand and argue before the Supreme Court. I don't think the three attorneys who presented, Walter Dillinger for D.C., Alan Gura for Heller, and of course the Solicitor General Paul Clement, not a single one of them was able to actually speak for 30 seconds before one of the justices jumped in and asked a lot of times very piercing questions. They were not even allowed to kind of get their thoughts in order before they were hit with just a barrage of questions from the justices. And as my sweetie, who is an attorney herself, pointed out, you're being grilled by nine brilliant people. All things aside, whatever we might think of some of the decisions that come out of the Supreme Court, they are brilliant men and women on that court, brilliant men and a woman on that court, and very incisive and at times very harsh questioning. Now, one of the things that struck me very early on was that Justice Kennedy very much led the fight, led the charge to the view that the Second Amendment focused on self-defense. Now, I think that was pretty much a surprise. I had sort of expected very much that it would be Scalia, very probably, or maybe Alito, leading that charge, Justice Scalia, Justice Alito, leading that charge. But it was very much Justice Kennedy who focused in again and again and again on that the first clause on the militia actually simply reaffirms the Militia Act, but the second clause, the right to keep and bear arms, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, that clause was an expansion of the first, and that it is very much an individual right of the people to keep and bear arms. I believe he said that his reading of the Second Amendment was the first clause is we reaffirm the right to have a militia, but the second clause, and this is Justice Kennedy's words, in addition, we have a right to bear arms. Now, that was very surprising to me because in some of the commentaries prior to today's oral argument, Justice Kennedy was very much the swing vote. Justice Scalia, Justice Thomas have written previously about the Second Amendment, their own personal beliefs in the Second Amendment. Justice Alito and Justice Roberts, I believe, in some of their confirmation hearings, had also been strong on the Second Amendment. So there's four votes there. But Justice Kennedy was considered the swing vote, and in that sense, he came out swinging. He came out swinging. So stay with us. There's going to be more interviews, more commentary on today's oral argument right here on Downrange Radio. Of course, you can go to Downrange Television, www.downrange.tv, to our special page on the oral arguments. We'll have a lot of blog entries. We'll have a lot of news commentaries. We're going to do our best to We're going to do our best to aggregate the blog entries from around the web, so you'll get a good feel for what people are thinking. But again, I'm your host, Michael Bain. Stay with us for more of our exclusive coverage of the oral arguments in the Supreme Court, D.C. v. Heller, the meaning of the Second Amendment.